Hi, this is Dr. Kimberly Leonard, author of Visualizing Happiness in Every Area of Your Life and host of this podcast, Incredible Life Creator. And today, my guest is Mr. Chris Yadon. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, all the way from Utah. So I'm going to read your bio so people can know who you are. So, Chris Yadon is the managing director of SAPRIA, a nonprofit committed to liberating individuals in society from child sexual abuse and its lasting impacts. Yadon is responsible for managing all operations and services of SAPRIA in both Utah and Georgia. Chris has spent most of his professional career in startup executive management with an emphasis on operations, marketing, and sales. Since joining SAPRIA in 2015, Chris has brought a valuable skill set to the organization and is committed to addressing the epidemic of child sexual abuse. His expertise centers on increasing awareness of the epidemic of child sexual abuse and educating the public on best practices for prevention and the healing services available to survivors. Chris has been featured across several regional and national media platforms where he is often requested as an industry thought leader and expert. Well, I'm so happy to have you here and so happy to hear, what you're doing and how you're helping people.
Awesome. Well, I'm really grateful to be here. The journey to arrive here is an interesting one, and way too many details to share them all, but just a few things I'll share. I don't love bios. I know we have to have them. They're part of our world, right? But they never seem to really share the story. So I grew up in a really small town, a rural town. In fact, my grandfather was a fruit farmer. And I grew up right on the edge of the fruit farm and spent most of my days barefoot in the orchard. And think of it as a pretty carefree childhood. I was a latchkey kid, didn't have a lot of demands on me. So I got to do whatever I wanted to do. And for the most part, that led to a really, really healthy and happy childhood. Unfortunately, I was also exposed to various types of childhood trauma and abuses. And I personally wasn't the one that was abused, but had loved ones really close to me experience sexual abuse, physical abuse, other types of abuse. And so I kind of had this contrast growing up of me living this idyllic life and those around me that were close to me not. And I didn't really grasp that juxtaposition till I was an adult. And I think it really is part of why I ended up doing the work I'm doing. I started out my career in sales and marketing and, found some success there, got involved in startup tech and that world and did two tech startups, had great success in both of those. And then when our board members tapped me on the shoulder, one of our board members I'd worked with at a previous company and said, "Hey, we want you to come start this charity, and this is what it is and what it's about." It's like all my worlds came together. My business acumen, my skill set around doing a startup merged with some of the things I'd seen as a child and had seen the later life impacts on loved ones. It kind of came together, and I'm like, yeah, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Wonderful. So, tell me about more about Sapria and what it is and what it does.
Yeah. So at Sapria, we exist to liberate individuals and society from child sexual abuse and its lasting impacts. And every company has a little statement like that. We live and breathe that statement. So that first word, liberate, is really, really important to us. And we say we liberate individuals. The way we do that is we help adult women who are sexually abused as children heal from child sexual abuse. And it is literally a liberation for them, because if you can imagine being in a room and that room kind of closing in on you, and it gets smaller and smaller over time, how constricting that might feel, or how suffocating that might feel. That's what post-traumatic stress feels like to a lot of survivors. It's like the world's closing in on them over time. And when they learn to heal from that post-traumatic stress, it's like they're being liberated, that that constriction is being removed. And we don't heal people, we empower them to become stewards of their own healing. And that's what makes our work so important on the healing side. When we talk about liberating society, we're talking about, hey, why don't we stop this from actually happening? Why don't we break some generational cycles? So our public leadership, our prevention work really focuses on liberating society from child sexual abuse and its lasting impact. So that's what we do at Sapria. And in a nutshell, that word liberate, both applied to individuals and applied to society, really summarizes the work that we're about.
So, when you work with individuals like adults who have been through abuse, are they going through like counseling or classes, or how does that work?
Yes, and yes. It's as different as the people that we serve. So, if we take one of our services, for example, our retreat programming, we've had over 5,100 women come through that program. So, when you serve that many people, they come from all sorts of different circumstances, circumstances where they really minimize the abuse and say, well, mine wasn't that bad, or mine wasn't as bad as someone else's. I don't know if I really need the help, all the way to people that experienced, long-term abuse and things like trafficking and everything that goes along with that. So the spectrum is quite broad. What's common, though, and what's collective is that someone violated their trust, took away something that is important to them without their consent, without their permission, and that has had lasting impacts. So when we think about those that we serve, some of them have been through years and years of counseling, to your question. Some of them have never been to counseling. Some have been to classes or other, other resources. Some, this is their very first resource that they've been exposed to. So it's pretty broad, the clientele that we have the privilege of serving.
And how can we as a society prevent these things from happening? I mean, is there, I know there's signs of certain things, or, I mean, how do I know if one of my neighbors' kids or someone at the school or someone at church, how do we, is there signs of that? I mean, there's so many things that people can go through emotionally that it might not be sexual abuse, but is there specific things that almost always show up?
So this is a really, really complex issue, which means there's a really, really complex answer to your question. But I'm going to simplify it to a few principles. So let me first kind of address the first part of your question of how do we deal with this as a society? And then we can maybe get a little more specific into the second part of your question of how about me as an individual? How can I help, right? So when we're talking at the society level, we have to understand where we're at in the United States as it relates to this issue, or a specific state that we live in, like Georgia or Utah. Here's the reality. In the United States, we've addressed a lot of significant issues as a country. We've overcome a lot as a country. Unfortunately, child sexual abuse is one that we've chosen to look away from. We've turned our head, we've looked the other way, we've pushed it under the rug. Whatever metaphor you want to use, we have not dealt with this issue. So, one thing that we know as a country in dealing with past issues is that the first step is to accept that we have an issue. We in the United States will not deal with an issue until we collectively accept that we have an issue, no matter what it is. And we're not there yet on this issue as a society. We're getting there. There's a lot happening right now where society's like waking up. It's like this giant's waking up. It's this enormous problem that people are like, this has been going on all along. How did I not know? How can I not be involved in solving? We're going through that transition right now. So if I were to answer the question, what is the first thing we need to do as a society to prevent child sexual abuse? Is we need to accept that it's an issue that impacts us and those that we love. This is not an issue that happens to other people in other places. When you look at the statistics, they're very clear. They're prevalent anywhere from, depending on how you define abuse, anywhere from about 1 in 3 to 1 in 10 children will be sexually abused by age 18. So let's take the best case scenario, which would be 1 in 10. That's the best case scenario. That is, think about the people in your life, 1 in 10 children. In a class of 20 children, that's 2 of those children in every class.
That's
We
crazy.
have to accept that. We have to accept that it happens to the rich and the poor. We have to accept that it happens to those that belong to faith communities and those that don't. We have to accept that it happens to people from all different political parties, all different socioeconomic circumstances, that it's not happening to other people in other places. So we need society to kind of stop looking outward and saying and otherizing this issue and start saying, oh, this is in my neighborhood, this is in my family, this is in my school, this is in my faith community. This is, you get the idea. That's what we need to focus on right now as a society to address child sexual abuse. There's a lot of steps after that, but I'll just focus on that step. When we're talking about individuals, the most important thing we can do as individuals is to get educated about the issue. Because you brought up things like signs. Are there signs of abuse? The answer is yes, but there are many of them. And there's not a single sign that says, oh, they've been abused. It's the collective of multiple signs that causes a red flag to raise in our head, goes, something might be off here. And so you have to take the time to educate yourself. And fortunately, not just at Sapria, but there are many organizations that provide really, really good education. Of course, I'll recommend to your listeners to go to sapria.org. Spelled SAPREA, there is a ton of information on how to recognize signs of abuse.
Yeah, because like you said, it is a that's a huge problem if you think one in every, one in two, you said 2 out of 10 or 1 out of every 10 kids.
Yeah, so one out of the range is anywhere between 1 in 3 and 1 in 10, and that range varies based on how researchers define abuse. So
So, and some of the abuse can probably start very early, even before kids are in school. And then, some of it, at school is there certain things that you teach, teachers or doctors or people to notice?
yeah, so at Sapria specifically, we focus on parents and primary caregivers. Occasionally, we'll teach other professionals, like some that you mentioned, could be medical providers, could be educators. But our primary focus is getting to the parents and primary caregivers, those that are spending the most time with the children, because they're the ones that have the best opportunity to recognize signs and intervene. It's not that the education to the other places shouldn't happen, it should, but educating all those other areas without educating the primary caregivers is probably not going to be effective. So we really focus in on parents and primary caregivers and help them know what to recognize, help them to see the signs, help them to promote behaviors that reduce risk. So it's not just recognizing when something's wrong, it's proactively reducing risk. A really good example of that is teaching your children to set and hold boundaries, and you as a parent learning how to set and hold boundaries. It's a very important prevention technique that reduces risk for our children. And the good thing about it is it not only reduces risk of child sexual abuse, it also reduces risk of a lot of other things like bullying or other types of abuse or mistreatment of children.
Yeah, and that was kind of my next question. How do we train or teach our children? Because we grow up telling them, don't talk to strangers. We're all taught that, don't talk to strangers. But how do we teach them in a way so they know, which people are safe, which people are not safe? Are they safe? Are they not safe?
And it's a really interesting path to walk as a parent because, we could put our kids in the bubble wrap, but that will have other negative impacts. So you have to expose them to other people in the world for them to be healthy. It's part of growing up. So learning how to navigate those interactions with things like setting boundaries, with things like teaching your children about principles such as privacy and how to respect privacy or how to expect someone else to respect your privacy, teaching them things about their body so that they know they have the words to describe if something is happening to them that is problematic. If a lot of children, and this is one of the most unfortunate, maybe saddest parts of the issue, a lot of adult survivors say, I didn't tell anybody because I didn't know that what was happening to me was not normal. It wasn't until I was an adult or an older teenager that I recognized that it wasn't appropriate for that man to touch me in my private areas. I thought it was normal, or I thought it was okay when I was younger. And the reason why that's so sad and so unfortunate is just a little bit of education from their parent about their body, giving it names, talking about what's healthy and what's unhealthy, could have led to that child disclosing early enough to prevent it from even happening. Or even if it had happened, disclosing early enough that the parents could intervene to stop it and get the child the help they need so they weren't dealing with a lot. Long-lasting impacts in their adult life. So this is why this education, when I say the individual, what do they need to focus on, they need to go get educated. It doesn't take a ton of time, a ton of energy. What it does take is your willingness to address a hard topic and to embrace the awkwardness of that topic or the discomfort of the topic. And that's the hard part. But the amount of education you need, or the complexity of the education, it's actually pretty simple. And it's pretty simple to implement as a parent. If you just take the time to educate yourself about how to reduce this risk for your kids.
Exactly. So I wanted to, you had sent me some things on your bio, some different things to talk about. So, who's Christy?
Christy's my wife. I think if I remember right, I noted on there a little bit about her cancer journey, right? It's definitely something that has shaped me and our family a lot. So we were in our mid-20s and she found out she had cancer, and cancer's horrific anytime, but obviously at that stage in our life, thinking about cancer, that was the furthest thing from our minds, right? Our oldest two children had been born, and they were really young. They were 1 and 3 at the time. And it was really, really difficult as she went through that journey. And, we had always tried to share parenting roles and caregiving roles, but during her cancer journey, she couldn't provide the typical care that you might normally get from a mother. And that was really hard on her, right? The guilt that she dealt with. It put some extra weight on me, obviously, to fill in those gaps, which are really hard to fill. And we reflect on that and the impact of that journey. And even related to our topic today, it's relevant because, That's a traumatic experience for that 1 and 3 year old. They may not have been able to name it, know what they're going through, but they were going through childhood trauma. And as we've learned as parents how to deal with trauma, it's helped us better navigate, even with those children that are now adults, navigate the impacts of Christy's cancer journey on them or, and on us. We found value in therapy around that journey. We found value in acknowledgement. All these words we use to address a survivor's journey around sexual abuse are very similar words and very similar processes to what we went through with cancer. And, at the end of the day, now over 20 years later, we look back on that with not fondness and not joy, but gratitude. A lot of gratitude of the lessons we learned at a very young age that helped us mature as parents quickly, maybe quicker than we would have otherwise. And I think it's been a blessing and benefit for me in the work I do today.
What is one or two things that you learned through that journey? I mean, even just the journey of all of a sudden being sole parent for a short time that you don't think you would have learned if you didn't have that situation.
Yeah, I hope I would have learned everything. I don't know if I would have, but I definitely learned quicker. That's probably what I'd say. For example, the material things of life became very unimportant very quickly. And that's benefited us through the remainder or up to this point in our life. We still have a lot of life ahead of us. But maybe I would have eventually learned that lesson, but maybe it would have taken me 20 or 30 years rather than at the beginning of our, our family life. And that really has benefited us in a lot of different ways. So I think that's an example of what you're asking about, of something that, I hope I would have learned anyway, but I definitely learned earlier, having gone through this journey.
That makes sense. I mean, when we're young, we're driven, we're like, we want to be successful. We, push, push, push. At least in the United States, it's you want to show who you are and what you can do, and the measurement of that a lot of time is money. So if all of a sudden you're noticing the things that are actually really important, like
Definitely.
your family, like your relationships.
And our kids are adult kids that are out of the house, we have some of those parent payoff moments where they're like, I realize you taught us this, whatever principle they're talking about. And I've realized with my friends that that's not very normal. And sometimes they're like, you guys were amazing parents. And it's like, well, I don't know if we're amazing parents. We just went through a refiner's fire really early in our marriage that maybe set us up to have some parenting successes. We had a lot of parenting failures. We could have 10 podcasts on that,
I
right?
was gonna say we all did,
But
didn't we?
I'll latch on to the parenting successes we've had and recognize that several of them came through that cancer journey.
Wow. So what gives you the most happiness and fulfillment in your life right now?
The way I would say it is Guggets and Fries with Ezra. So Ezra is my grandson. My oldest has a child. He actually has two. The second one was born this last year. So I'm a grandpa. And Guggets and Fries, that's Ezra's way of saying nuggets and fries. Taking him on little outings, something as simple as a Happy Meal at McDonald's. You're welcome, McDonald's, for the endorsement. To get Guggets and fries, I don't know how else to explain it other than using the word joy. Every minute of those interactions is joyful for me. And it's all the blessings and benefits of kids without all the rigor and difficulty that come with kids. So having those grandparent moments are huge. I think related to that, I think I'm an oddity based on talking to other parents. A lot of parents look back once their kids are adults and they kind of reflect and wish that they could have some of those younger years back with their kids. I've had so much fun with my adult kids. I don't wish to go back. I loved when they were young. Not that I didn't love it, I loved it. But I love interacting with my kids as adults and having those adult relationships with them. So when maybe the first one I told you with Go Get Some Fries is joy, but when you talk about fulfillment, spending time with my adult kids, having adult conversations about important things, developing adult perspectives and sharing those perspectives with my adult children has brought me a ton of fulfillment. Those are some of the things I might highlight.
Thank you. Yeah. And back to Sapria. So I actually learned about your organization because a friend of mine is helping to sponsor an event that's happening this summer in Georgia.
Yep.
So you want to talk about that, like your fundraising and how people can help and
Sure. Yeah, I'll always talk about that, right? So, yeah, we're having a gala June 8th at the Georgia Aquarium, June 8th, 2024, and we're building momentum towards that. And at that fundraiser, not only will we have an opportunity to, come together as a community and celebrate good work that's been done, but we'll also have the opportunity to fund future work that needs to be done. And that funding can be very, very specific to, sponsoring a survivor to come through one of our programs or sponsoring education nights for parents. We can get very, very specific in how that funding is used. So for individuals that want to be part of the solution, that have acknowledged, yes, we as a society need to deal with this, we have a way that you can get involved, and you can get involved financially. Of course, there's other ways outside of financial, but for that particular night, we're going to be clearly focused on the financial side of getting involved and engaging to help survivors. And we want to make it really clear that this isn't about Sapria. Yeah, Sapria is the one that hosts the night, but women are healing. They want to heal from child sexual abuse. And when you come and support on a night like that, you're supporting those women. Sapria may be the vehicle to make that happen, but you're helping women heal from many times what is generational trauma. And you're helping kids avoid trauma as their parents get educated about how to reduce risks.
Yes. So, and then if people want to connect with you, what is your website or how do they do that?
Yeah, so sapria.org is the quickest and easiest way, spelled SAPREA dot org. I always welcome people reaching out to me. I love to interact with the community as well. So they're welcome to email me or, get to me through LinkedIn. LinkedIn's probably the easiest. My name is Chris, Chris, last name spelled YADON. So, they can find me on LinkedIn and connect, and we can go from there.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast today and for sharing your wisdom. And, we all want to be more aware of what's going on and be able to help in this area and protect our kids, our families.
Well, thank you for having me. And I'll just highlight when you invite me to come into this environment, it's part of the very thing I talked about of acknowledging that there's a challenge in our society, and you've given your voice and your platform to allow society to not only acknowledge that, but start to look for solutions. So thank you for giving your time and lending it to me to talk about such an important topic.
Yes, it is important. It's my pleasure. It is my pleasure. So I have one last question before we complete.
Okay.
What is your best advice on living an incredible, amazing life?
So, the first one that when anytime I get asked for advice, this is my go-to, and that is consistency creates moments. And when you hear that phrase, you might say, what does he mean? We all look for those amazing moments in our life. You can't plan most amazing moments. They come because you consistently do something. So, like if you want to talk about an amazing moment of parenting that creates that happiness, fulfillment, and success, you can't plan those parenting moments. But your consistency of being an engaged parent is what makes those moments happen. So consistency creates moments. Two others, I won't spend as much time on them because they're a little more self-explanatory, but allow others to learn and grow on your time. We learned and grow on someone else's time and dime in many cases. Someone was generous enough to allow us to learn and grow. We should return that favor. And then the last one is get comfortable with being uncomfortable,
Nice.
because the best things in life often happen when we're uncomfortable.
So true. Well, thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you. So good to be with you.
We'll talk to you again soon.
All right.